Hello and welcome to the March 29, 2013 SeniorMarketing.com Marketing Director Elite Training. My name is Kevin Williams and I'm the president of SeniorMarketing.com. Since this is our first session together, I want to talk briefly about what this program is and how to best use it. And also I have a few business items I'd like to get out of the way. Since this is our first week, SeniorMarketing.com's Marketing Director Elite is a specialized senior living and home care marketing director training program, and it's focused on sales, marketing, and customer service for senior living communities or home care agencies. So even though it's called our Marketing Director Elite, really any site personnel should be using this program if they're interacting with residents or potential clients. The sole purpose of this program is to help you become an elite level performer in those three categories of sales, marketing, customer service, and which will drastically help you improve the performance of your community or your home care agency. Number two, each week a new session will be uploaded to a password protected page on our website at seniormarketing.com. And you will receive a new password every week via email. And you're not allowed to share this with anybody. Those that have rights to a password will receive it. Sharing content or passwords is a violation of copyright law, and it will be enforced. Sorry for the bluntness of that statement, but we want to keep the integrity of the exclusive nature of this very strong. So those who participate will have a distinct competitive advantage. So if you're sharing this with your friends in the industry, you're going to lose part of your competitive advantage, and it's against copyright law. So please don't share your password with anybody, including people within your own organization. And this is licensed by a community by community or agency by agency basis. You can share it within your community with the same street address, but if you have another location, you have them get their password through us. And while there will be a new session every week, you'll have access to the archives as long as you remain a paying client in good standing. Anytime you want to log in, you'll have access to the past sessions, and you can download them and put them on your MP3 player. And each session is new, but we might repeat topics as they're worth revisiting. You know, repetition is very important to learning, so feel free to visit these past sessions. You know, we might talk about getting a commitment at the end of the phone call 1 week, and you know, 6 weeks later, we might talk about getting a commitment at the end of another phone call. And you know, if it's a very important topic and we feel it needs repetition, and we're getting a lot of feedback because people are having trouble getting it, we're going to repeat it and try to teach it in a different way. You know, again, repetition is a very important part of learning, and it's how we learn as human beings. So after each session, part of your homework is to write a one-paragraph synopsis of what you learned and how you're going to apply this to your daily activities. And if your leadership has not asked you to do so already, they'll probably do so that they know you participated and that the call, and you know, it also helps you learn. You know, when we hear something and write it in our own words, it helps us learn it a lot better. And you know, especially when you think about how you're going to apply it to your daily activities. So, you know, after each session, take 5 to 10 minutes and write down one paragraph synopsis of what you learned. Think for a bit of, you know, how you're going to apply it to your daily activities, and then send it off to your leadership so they know you participated, and it will also help you learn as well. So if you have questions or suggestions, you know, we're certainly open to that, and we actually encourage that. So go ahead and send your questions to info@seniormarketing.com. That's info@seniormarketing.com. And we will read those and answer them and, you know, incorporate those questions and answers as are appropriate into this training. So, you know, we welcome all feedback, and we're always looking to improve our programs and products, and week after week we look to improve through this training, and your feedback is important. So you receive a password and a link to each session every Monday. Depending on a number of factors, that timing will vary on Monday. Some Mondays you'll get it in the morning. Sometimes it might not be till the end of the day, but you'll get it every week. And you can also access it through our website. If you go to the upper right and go to the client login, you'll be able to log in there. Lastly, we're going to try to keep this fun and interesting and useful. I know a lot of training is boring and not very fun. Sometimes it's also not very useful. We want to have a little bit of fun with it. Some sessions will be more serious than others. Some will be shorter than others. Some will be longer. We think on average the sessions will be about a half hour, but some might be 15 minutes, some might be 45 minutes, and we want to break some serious learning into some bite-sized chunks for you. We want to have fun with it, and we hope you'll have an open mind and enjoy it. All right, so now that we've got that out of the way, let's dive into our first session. The most effective sales strategy involves just four steps, and today we're just going to talk about the first one, and that's creating a connection to build trust and lower the shield. And there's actually four steps. There's creating a connection to build trust to lower the buying shield. Find out if there's a fit between what the person wants or needs and what you have. Extract their buying criteria and match your benefits to it. And get a commitment in a friendly and low pressure way. So I don't want you to think that there's anything real complicated to sales. It may sound oversimplified. It's really not. And we're going to go into each of those topics as the weeks go by. But today I want to talk about number one, which is building connection to build trust and lower the buying shield. And what I mean by buying shield is that, we as a society are so sick and tired of being sold all the time. You literally see thousands of advertisements every day, and we always feel like someone's always trying to sell us something. And so we always have this shield up, and you might not even be aware of all the advertisements you're inundated with, because your subconscious mind blocks it out, because it's just it's just overwhelming. And it's a good thing, because there's people trying to sell us something, and it's not in our best interest to buy or participate in. So we'll just we'll approach different types of businesses at the and as a salesperson walks up to us, we'll say, we're just looking, we don't want to make eye contact. And your customers do the same thing. And a lot of the times when they call, or they come in for a visit, or you're going, if you're home care, you're going in for a first visit in the home, they feel that they're going to be pressured into buying something, and they don't want to buy. So the very first step to sales is, and this is really a crucial step, you can't overcome this, is that if this person doesn't trust you or believe a word you're saying, then the chances of continuing in the sales process are very low. So there's really a lot to talk about on this topic, but ultimately it comes down to the person on the other side of the table or the phone. That, by the way, that brings up a good point. This training can be applied over the phone. It can be applied to a visit to your community, to a visit to someone's home if it's home care, or even if you're communicating via email. It doesn't matter really how you're communicating. So keep that in mind. The bottom line is that you need that person to feel comfortable with the conversation you're having with them and with you as a person. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but I know I have, and I'm sure you have. But if you experience when a customer comes in, and maybe you've noticed the kind of car they're driving, and you say how you like the car, and for the next 15, 20, 30 minutes, all you're doing is talking about their car, or maybe it's a pet they have, and you really like their dog or something. And then all of a sudden, this person, their shield is much lower, and they're much more receptive to taking the next steps with you, and it's a lot smoother. And during that whole conversation, you never even talked about what you were selling, but yet you moved further along in that conversation than you did with other conversations. And it happens because what you do, and even though you're not doing it consciously, is that you're building trust and credibility and rapport with a person at the other end of the conversation. And it's so crucial to the process, even if you're not talking about cars, but it's crucial to the process that they get comfortable with you. And a lot of times in senior living or home care, I've noticed this, people come in right away, and the marketing director, admissions person is, right away, talk either pitching their services or whatever, and they're not listening to the person's needs and what they really need, or establishing this trust and credibility that's so important in the beginning. It really is. I want to share a quick story with you really quick about this topic, and it's from a book by Stephen M. R. Covey, who is the son of Stephen Covey. Stephen Covey is the one who wrote Seven Highly Habits of Effective People. Basically, the story is about Warren Buffett, who is the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, and Warren Buffett's one of the richest people in the world. His company wanted to acquire another company from Walmart, which is another huge, respected company in the world. And the company that Walmart owned was called McLean Distribution, and they were a $23 billion enterprise, so this was a huge deal. And $23 billion was going to be acquired by Warren Buffett's companies from Walmart. And so Warren Buffett's a CEO. He's very trusted, he's credible, and he has all the trust and confidence that his counterparts at Walmart, are going to need. They know he's not going to be pulling any shenanigans. He's Warren Buffett. And so here's how Warren Buffett described it in his own words in his annual report to make the McLean deal. And he said, "We had a single meeting of about 2 hours. We shook hands, and 29 days later, Walmart had their money, all $23 billion of it. We did no due diligence. We knew everything would be exactly the way Walmart said it would be, and it was." So this is a big $23 billion deal, and this was done in 29 days after a 2-hour meeting with no due diligence. And the reason this was able to happen was because of the trust that took place. Of course, in senior living and home care, we're not dealing with $23 billion transactions with, a new resident or a client. We're dealing with a few thousand dollars a month transactions, but the principles are the same. And the person on the other end of the transaction, your residents or your new clients, needs to trust and like you, or else they're going to be questioning everything, and they're not going to even fork over $10 if they don't trust you. So how do we apply this to, senior living and home care and our day-to-day activities? Well, the first thing is just be yourself. It's very important that you be yourself, and here's why. By being yourself and being authentic, it will a lot you're allowed to make a connection with another person. This is crucial. If you're not being yourself and you're putting on a personality, 9 times out of 10, the other person can sense that. And they won't necessarily be able to put their finger on what's wrong, but they will know something is wrong, and that will break down the trust that you're trying to build up. And a lot of sales trainers will tell you to be enthusiastic and happy, and jump up and down, smile from ear to ear, as more than you normally would smile, and shake their hand firmly, look them in the eyes. And while all those things aren't bad, what I'm saying is don't force, a false personality on someone, because they're going to be able to tell it. So if they sense something's not right, even if it's you just putting on a little bit of a fake personality that's not your own, that trust is going to be broken. And at the end of the day, you could still, get sales and new residents and clients, but you're not being yourself. And You'll be able to close more new residents and clients if you just be yourself and help, build and trust on a genuine relationship. If you remember the car story I talked about earlier, where it's just it was genuine interest in something the other person's interested in too. The first thing is be yourself. Of course you need to be professional and you need to be polite. You need to try to look people in the eyes and smile and, all those other good things, common sense behaviors to take place. But the bottom line is don't try and be someone you're not. People will sense something is up. It's not productive. And as a society where everybody's trying to either scam us or sell us something that's really not a fit for us, it's important to look people in the eyes and connect with other people as a human beings. And there's studies done that you can actually be show imperfect. You don't have to be perfect, but there's studies done that prove the more imperfect you are, if you slip up and you stutter a little bit here or there, or maybe you make a spelling mistake, although I'm certainly not encouraging that. People associate this with being human, and there's studies done that this shows that people find it to be more genuine. And I mean, if you think about politics, I don't want to talk much about politics, but when a politician makes mi or admits a mistake, that it makes him seem a little bit more genuine and more of a real human being. So the bottom line is to be yourself, and that's step number one. So for the rest of the session today, I want to talk, and actually go through a lesson that I learned from one of my favorite writers, Napoleon Hill. If you don't know Napoleon Hill, he wrote the book called Think and Grow Rich, and this was, back in the 30s through the Depression, and it still holds this day as one of the greatest success and motivator books to many millionaires. And it really teaches you fundamental principles of success principles and how to operate your mind to overcome obstacles in life. This is from one of my favorite books, and he talks a lot about what we're talking about in this session. He's talking about building confidence both from, the person on the other end of the table who has no confidence and trust in you, but also how to build confidence in yourself, which is, a lot of days, sometimes a lot of us lack, self-confidence. So confidence is it's something we can all have a bit more of, and self-belief. And if you're confident in what you're selling, and they're confident in what you're saying, then you have a good solution for them. Then, the chances for the sale are going to go way up. So in the book, he talks about 10 major factors on which confidence is built. And I want you to keep in mind that this book was in print in 1939, and these are principles that are they're still true today, but the language is, it's written like it was in 1939. I encourage you to write down these 10 principles, and the player you're listening to should have a pause button so you can pause it and write it down. And I recommend reviewing these every morning. These are, not only good principles for sales or customer service, but they're also good principles for living life, in my opinion, and I think you'll agree. So he starts by saying, by careful observation of thousands of salespeople from who I've learned, all I've learned about selling, I've learned 10 major factors into the development of confidence. So number one, follow the habit of rendering more service and better service than you're paid to render. So we hear this today, and it's called under promise and over deliver. So it's basically another way of saying that. And a lot of people in senior living tend to forget that. They say, here's what we have to offer. We'll take them on a tour. And a lot of times forgetting to listen to them right away. And if they show interest, and then they keep following up. And if they don't show interest, then a lot of times the ball gets dropped. And this can be the same in home care. Where if they neglect to show interest, and you forget the to follow up afterwards. So how will this help you sell more? It's easy to apply because The key word here is habit. You know, follow the habit of rendering more service and better service than you're paid to render. And when you do this, you're going to have a happier resident or new customer, and the whole transaction is going to be more positive. They're going to tell more people about you, which you get more referrals and residents and clients that way, but you're also going to be building confidence in yourself, and that person is going to be really happy. And if you're questioning whether or not the product or service you're offering is valuable or not, then you're going to have hesitation when you're selling to a new prospect, and they'll be able to sense that. And you know that this goes back to being yourself. All these things add up. And you know, if they sense something, then they may or may not buy and wonder why you're acting a little funny. So over time, if you make the habit of this and you're getting a lot of raving feedbacks from your customers and residents saying, you know, wow, these people really go above and beyond. And, you know, I'm a resident here, but they really go above and beyond and treat me like I'm at a five-star resort. They have a concierge and they cater to my needs. And same with home care, you're always checking in, you know, even when you're not there, or sending postcards or flowers, putting flowers in a resident's room in senior living. And you know, you're going to get more confident and comfortable with these people, and also with the selling process, because you actually believe in what you stand behind. You know, you're building up your pride around what you do, and it adds that extra layer of comfort between you and that new resident or client. All right, principle number two: enter into no transaction in which does not benefit as nearly alike as possible everyone it affects. So basically, what he's saying is this is a win-win situation that you hear a lot today. So there's rules, and you know, enter into no transaction that does not benefit nearly as like as possible as everyone it affects. And you know, if you're gonna get a new resident, you know, it's gonna benefit that person to become a new resident. You know, there's a reason they're there today. And most people who come into, you know, a community, or you know, most people you visit if you're going to home care, they're going to need either a room or someone to care for them. But if you know, if someone comes in and you know they're not necessarily a correct fit for your community, or if they're your home care and you're visiting someone in their home and they're not, you know, a good fit for you, but you still sell them on becoming a new client or resident anyways, chances are they're going to be unhappy in the end. And that's going to destroy your confidence in yourself, because you're going to hear a complaint. You're going to destroy their confidence in your community or company because you didn't solve their problem. And they may go around and telling people within the community about it. And that's not good for anybody involved in the situation, and you really want to make sure it's a win-win situation for everyone. Number three, make no statement which you do not believe to be true, no matter what temporary advantages of falsehood might seem to offer. So in other words, do not lie. I know you're not a liar, and I know most of the people on this call would not intentionally lie to a customer. However, there may be the you know, small little white lies that you might call them, and you know, say, oh, we have the cheapest rates in town. You know, it's a little different than saying, you know, we offer lowest price guarantee. If you don't offer the lowest price, we'll call you back and match it. Then you have to match it. You know, if you lie about certain features and amenities at the community, a lot of times it's, you know, we're under a lot of pressure from our leaders to rent more, you know, to increase occupancy. And you know, a lot of times you might sell a little white lie to get the sale. You know, not only does that eat you inside and again destroy your confidence because you know you've done something that's not right, eventually the customer is going to find out, and the temporary advantage that you might have gained will be offset with a larger negative consequences. So, you know, right now you might be thinking, Kevin, these are pretty basic things, and you're right, they are. You know, again, these were written in 1939, and these are principles. Vince Lombardi, the famous football coach, started every football season by holding up a football and saying, "This is a football." And the reason he did this is because it's important to pay attention to the fundamentals. So if you live by all 10 of these principles and live by them every day, not only will you have really happy residents and customer base, you'll have more residents and customers, and you'll feel confident about it, and you're gonna be happy in your job, which of course, helps with everything, and it's a big snowball effect, and it just keeps building up and going. So number four, have a sincere desire in your heart to be one of the greatest possible service to the largest number of people. And the key word here is sincere. A lot of times you may go to work and having a bad day, you don't want to be there. Well, your customers and prospects can sense that. But if you go into work every day and with a sincere desire to help as many people as you can and to be of service, it's going to rub off and it's going to build trust. There's actually a book out there called The Greatest Salesman in the World, and it talks a lot about this. And the old saying, to serve is to rule, and it's very, very true. All right, moving on to number five. To cultivate a wholesome admiration for people and like them better than you like money. This may sound hard for those of us that love money, but the bottom line is you should care more about the people than you should care about the money. Truth of the matter is that when you do this, the money will follow. One of my favorite books is called The Go Giver. Instead of the go getting, it's called the go giver. And if you really care about other people and admire them, the money will most definitely follow, because money is a store of value and you need to provide value in order to get money from people. The famous sales trainer and motivator Zig Ziglar always says, give people enough of what they want and you'll get everything you want. And that's true every single time. There's one thing I want to say here, and that's if you're really curious about people and you admire them and you really listen to them and show a caring, desire to help their needs, and you're going to be a lot less likely to pass judgment on them, and they're going to build trust. So for example, if a customer or prospect rather comes into your community and they're all flustered, they're on their cell phone, and they're yelling on their cell phone, and you're thinking to yourself, you're like, they're going to be a nightmare. And you never know, because this person may or may not be a nightmare. It might just be a fluke phone call that got out of the way, but they're really eager to talk to you, and maybe having some sort of troubles. You really have no idea what's going on there in their life. So if you create a sincere, admiration for people and curiosity for them, and you like them better than money, then guess what? They're the ones who are going to be giving you the money, and they're going to be the ones, sending you their payment every single month. And the bottom line is that if you care about them, help them get what they want, they're going to be happy and they're going to give you the money. So number six, do your best to live well as preach your own philosophy of business. Actions speak louder than words. So I think this one is very true. Again, all these are to help you build confidence in yourself and help build confidence in others around you. And they should do business with you when you do that. And I'm not going to say a whole lot about this, but practice what you preach. If you're out there saying, hey, you should never argue with residents, and always treat customers right and go above and beyond, then you should be doing that. And it doesn't benefit anybody to be a hypocrite and not practice what you preach. Number seven, accept no favors, large or small, without giving favors in return. And I don't know if you know this or not, but all of us are built in with a reciprocity gene, if you will. And there's actually a lot of studies on this. If you look up the law of reciprocity, based on the word reciprocate. And you can read countless studies on this, actually. And essentially, if someone gives us something, we have this built-in gene that makes us want to give something back. And maybe you do know someone in your life that you think is lacking this gene, and maybe you're right. I certainly do. I've got a few friends that are like that. But essentially, it's applies when you're out, you're networking throughout your community. If you're constantly taking things from people and you're not giving anything in return, you're most likely not going to continue those working relationships for long, and I don't know exactly why, but it will catch up to you. People will stop giving things if they're not getting anything in return. Okay, moving on to number eight. So, to ask nothing of any person without believing that you have the right to that for which you ask. So this is something that goes back to what we talked about earlier, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. But the bottom line is, if you don't feel like you can help that person, then don't ask for the sale. You know, it's not going to benefit you or anyone if you have an unhappy resident or an unhappy customer. And you know, it's tough because we're all under a lot of pressure these days, but in the long run, this is better for you, for the business, for the customer, and everything, everyone else involved. So, you know, not only, you know, does that erode your self-confidence, but you know, if they feel bad about the community or the service, that they can spread word in your community by either telling people or going and writing a review online. So really, if something's not right, then just don't do it. It's not worth it. Number nine, enter into no argument with any person over trivial or non-essential details. This one is huge, so I'll say it again. Enter into no argument with any person over trivial or non-essential details. So, you know, recently I was listening to some recordings of, you know, our clients, and I heard a recording that just blew my mind. I won't mention any names, but it was essentially between a prospect and a new, sorry, a someone who was coming into a visit, a prospect coming into a visit, and a marketing director. And you know, for the most part, the conversation went good, but when it got down to the person asking for directions to the community, I don't remember the specifics, but there was a Blockbuster on the corner that this person needed to make a turn on, and the prospect goes, "Well, this isn't, you know, the Blockbuster on the other side of the street." And the manager said, "No, it's actually on, you know, I can assure you this Blockbuster is on the other side of the street, so you're going to be turning this way." And you know, the person, the prospect, was so convinced that the Blockbuster was on the other side of the street that you know, this manager and this person got into an argument over this trivial detail where the Blockbuster was located. And now this, you know, it didn't change the directions at all, but they kept making references to this Blockbuster, and it got into a heated argument. When it comes down to it, who really gives a damn where the Blockbuster is located? It really doesn't make a difference. So, you know, a lot of times if you're having a bad day, or I don't know about you, but you know, I know people whose personality sometimes they just hate to be proven wrong, and they always need to prove themselves right. And you know, being a little aware in these situations, particularly with potential residents, you know, especially someone interested in coming into a visit, or if they want a, you know, a consultation for a home care at their house, you know, it's really important that you don't get into an argument over trivial things or non-essential details. And you know, it's completely pointless. And you know, you may have heard this saying 100 times, but you need to pick and choose your battles. And you know, this whole Blockbuster thing was really a battle that was not necessary, and could have cost this person a new resident without even, you know, talking to them. It was so silly and ridiculous. You know, it's just not worth it. So I believe this is an important principle. Okay, so moving on to number 10. This is the final one, and this one's a little corny. You know, again, this was written in 1939, you know, around the Depression, and people needed a lot of encouragement back then. So I'll say it, and then I'll, you know, translate it into what it really means to today. So, spread the sunshine of good cheer wherever and whenever you can. No man trusts a joy killer. So, you know, this book again was written in 1939, so you need to remember that. And but essentially, it's, you know, the world can be not an overly pleasant place to live in sometimes, you know, especially these days. It's tough with the you know, the economy, and you know, every day on the news there's something negative to focus on. So, you know, everyone's a little on edge and uncomfortable, and you know, you're dealing with, you know, financially scared prospects. You know, the standard of living seems to be going further down, which is incredible. And if you can make someone happy, make them laugh and smile, then you're going to go a long way in getting them to trust and like you. I have a marketing director that I met that, focuses on telling one joke throughout every single day to, everyone they speak to. And you might think that's kind of weird, but it's definitely something that helps their day. Not everybody's going to laugh, but they've got a new joke every day. And, their philosophy that is if they can get someone to laugh, then, he knows he won the conversation because people will loosen up a bit and it's things become a little bit more natural. So, in today's day and age, people do business with people they like, and it's really as simple as that. Granted, you have to have a good product and service, but if people like you, the better off you're going to be. So those are the 10 factors in which confidence is built. So if you remember the story of the Warren Buffett story, how it took 2 hours to do a $23 billion transaction, it really is, that essential to build trust and confidence. So I'm going to go through these one more time so you can, write them down again if you haven't already. Number one, follow the habit of rendering more service and better service than you're paid to render. Number two, enter into no transaction which does not benefit as nearly alike as possibly everyone it affects. Three, make no statement which you do not believe to be true, no matter what temporary advantages or of falsehoods it might seem to offer. Number four, have a sincere desire in your heart to be of the greatest possible service to the largest number of people. Five, to cultivate a wholesome admiration for people and like them better than you like money. Number six, do your best to live as well as preach your own philosophy of business. Actions speak louder than words. Number seven, accept no favors, large or small, without giving favors in return. Number eight, to ask nothing of any person without believing that you have the right to that for which you ask. Number nine, enter into no argument with any person over trivial or non-essential details. And number 10, spread the sunshine of good cheer wherever and whenever you can. No man trusts a joy killer. These are well worth memorizing and well worth following. I've hope you've written them down. So that wrapped up today's session. I hope you found it valuable. Like I said, each week we're going to cover a different topic, and we might revisit this one again. If we're finding a lot of people are having building trust and rapport, then we can revisit this down the road. So if you establish this high level of trust and rapport, you definitely will definitely notice your sales increase. And so this wraps up any questions. Again, if you have questions, send them to info@seniormarketing.com. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we will talk soon.